living a healthy life is going to be dependent on, no matter what you've gone through with your parents. Ultimately, you have to forgive even your enemies. And it's so tragic that they turned out to be your enemy, maybe. Mm-hmm. But that's the work in front of us, and it frees us.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today. All right, so we've talked about this here before, but everybody brings luggage into their marriage.
From their past.
You know, we've got Brand Hansen there today. And Brand, I want to know what luggage you brought in. But here's my thought. Wouldn't it be cool if at a real wedding, the groom and bride walked up and they had all these bags and they just set them beside each other as they stood in front of the pastor? Don't you think that'd be funny?
No.
Like, he's got like these big bags and she's got little bags. And you're like, what is that? It's like, that's what you're bringing in. And nobody knows that. Mm-hmm. But once you get married after a couple of weeks, you're like, what is that?
But there's a hint that there's luggage, right? Because like traditionally, you have maybe 100 people or 200 people gathered to watch you take a vow, to witness you take a vow. Like, that's an indicator early on. This is not easy. If you think about it.
Yeah.
Like, why would you need to witnesses? Make a promise. I want you to remember you took a vow. Like, that should be, you have to do that for other stuff. Like, that's going to be easy. So that should be an indicator.
Like, I've never thought of that before. Yeah. Like, this is a big deal.
Must be.
Yeah. Like, you're going to make this promise and vow before all of these people.
We saw you do it. You don't do that when it comes to, like, going to the amusement park. Like,
my house.
I'm going to take a vow to go to the amusement park. Like, that may be a lot easier. You don't have to do that. But a vow,
right?
It must be challenging.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But the funny thing is, it's not funny at all. Because once you get married and you start to see some of the stuff we bring in, that's where it gets hard. It's like, I didn't know, and either did you, that marriage would be awesome. But it's also really, really difficult.
Exactly.
And that's why we're here. We're here to help you, to help all of us do marriage the way God wants us to do it. And let me tell you, when we do it the way God wants, it can be incredible. But I got to tell you, I just want to pause for a moment and remind you that everything we do here at Family Life is only possible because of people just like you. Your generosity, you're praying for us, but especially as you give to us financially, that keeps this ministry going and allowing us to bring hope and truth and realness to families like yours that are in need. So if you've been blessed by Family Life, I'm telling you, now is the time to step in and help others experience the same blessing. Here's how you can do that. Head to familylifetoday.com and you can give. You can give your support, and your support means the world to us. Go to familylifetoday.com or feel free. You can give us a call at 800-358-6329. Again, the number is 800, F is in family, L is in life, and then the word today. Okay, Brant, we talked yesterday. One of the bags I brought, and it wasn't a carry-on. It was, you know, being moved by four trucks.
A trunk.
And, you know, it's overweight, and the plane's like, we won't get off the ground with this bag. That's how big it was. I brought a father wound into our marriage, not even knowing what it was. I had never heard the term father wound till we were probably married 10 years.
But I also think, like, I think of what Jesus has done in and through both of us. And isn't he sweet?
Oh, it's amazing.
That he opens our trunk and our bag and he says, I can work with that.
Yeah.
I can do something with that, all that pain. And I can even help you. And here's where we're going to go today. Forgive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, part of what God can do with that requires our participation. So yesterday, and if you missed yesterday, go back and listen, because this conversation won't make sense if you don't understand the background. But we've talked about some of the hurts and wounds we carry from our dads, and our kids have them too. But going on the journey to forgive. So, Brant, talk about that journey for you.
Well, you realize something if you go through stuff growing up or you have difficult dysfunction in your family of origin. I may be saddled with this for the rest of my life unless I forgive. Like, this may define me.
Wait. But people are like, no, I don't even think about it anymore.
Well,
I don't even think about that person because of what they've done.
I doubt that is the healthiest way. Like, I don't even acknowledge that I just went through all of that.
Yeah.
Like, even then, I think we're kidding ourselves.
Yeah.
So there's something very difficult sounding about it for a lot of people. They're like, you do not realize. I'm listening to this. You don't know the trauma that I went through. And right. It's like, no, we don't. We don't. I only know mine. You know yours. There's various levels and things people have gone through. However, biblically, we know this. We have to forgive even our enemies. And the sad thing is that someone who should have been your best defender or most nurturing person or a combination, like, wound up being an enemy. But still, and the reason you do it isn't because they deserve it. That's the problem too. It's like, well, my dad doesn't deserve it, or my mom doesn't. You realize, like, it's not about whether they deserve it or not. It's about the fact that you didn't deserve it. If you're somebody who follows Jesus and you believe in his forgiveness for you and what he's done on the cross, that is what we're supposed to extend to other people, even to enemies, people who persecute us, people who insult us, people who have abused us. And it's an opportunity, honestly, to be free.
That's what I was going to ask. Why? I mean, this is a big deal. Jesus talked about it quite a bit.
Yes.
And why did he?
Yes, because this is the way to freedom.
Yeah.
This is our chance to, as an act of worship to God, it's saying, thank you for what you've done for me. Now I'm going to do this for this person who failed as a parent. It may be in your case, could be any number of things. But without that, you're honestly still being affected by them. Hmm. I really mean it's the way to freedom, because if you think about it, people ask me when I talk about this approach and unoffendable about letting go of anger. That's really what forgiveness is. It's letting go of your right to anger against this person in spite of what they've done. But people will say, okay, does that mean I have to stay in a relationship with this abusive person or this horrible, you know, situation? No, it doesn't. No, that's not what forgiveness is. You can still have boundaries. Mm-hmm. That said, if you don't forgive this person, you are staying in relationship with them for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the way out. This is a way to health and freedom. Jesus knows how we're made. He knows us best, and he's telling us this is the way to live. It's not an option if you're somebody who's a Jesus follower. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a brilliant way to deal with parent wounds, like, so that it doesn't infect the rest of your life.
Yeah. Did you guys, I'm looking at both of you, did you guys have symptoms of unforgiveness before you actually went through the process of forgiving your dads?
I'll let you go first, Dave. It's your show. I like to stall.
Well, I was thinking Anne can tell you the symptoms.
Of listeners thinking, do I have any unforgiveness?
Yeah, and again, I didn't realize it was connected to the wound. But that anger. Anne said to me one day early in our marriage, you know, I'm just never going to bring up stuff in our marriage anymore because all you do is blow up. And I'm not kidding. I said, what are you talking about? And she goes, just like that. She goes, Exhibit A. You just blew up again because I said I'm not going to bring.
Or it could be simple things like we were wallpapering one time. This is probably
well,
your
everybody gets angry.
Well, wallpaper is a ticket to
Austin.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. This is like out of a 0 to 10, 10 being really hot in rage. I mean, it was like the thing fell off, and I get it. I've done it before. It's so frustrating. But you would be at a 10 when, hey, this is like a 5 kind of thing.
Which is, you know, as I studied anger, and again, I'm in my probably early 30s then, I didn't even know there's types of anger, and it's a second emotion. It's usually not tied to what's going on. And I'm like, oh, displaced is anger in this situation from another, displaced from another. And then chronic is displaced, but it's at a high level that's connected to something. Maybe it didn't happen this morning or last week, but 10 years ago, it was like a revelation, like, I've got chronic anger, and it's connected to my dad. I'm not blaming my dad. I got to deal with this, but it's connected to that. So, yeah, there were symptoms that I realized as a young father with babies in the house, I got to get a handle on this, or it's going.
Or it's going to handle me.
Yeah. And so we talked about that yesterday. It's like, I got to go on a journey now quick, or I'm going to repeat the sins of my father, whether I want to or not. It's going to happen. I got to stop it. And so that's why I say God can do it. But he says, you got to go with me on this journey. You got to be willing to participate, or we're never going to get there.
Well, anger will poison your relationships. Mm. It comes out towards other people in ways that you don't necessarily see and makes you prone to fall into foolishness and stuff that'll kill you. Too. Yeah. Like we know, you talk to any addictions counselor, when are you at your worst, right? Hurt, angry, lonely, tired. Mm. Like that's when your will really suffers. Like, so to be in perpetual deep anger, it's going to crop up in other ways too. So this is something that you can't continue to live with, and allowing a parent, if it's a parent wound, and allowing unforgiveness to persist, that is poisoning your life for the rest of your life. You're still giving them power over you. Mm-hmm. And that's what I realized, I think, as a young adult. Like, I can continue to be angry about this. This can define me.
Yeah.
This can define me and drive me the rest of my life. And it might even drive me to accomplish great things somehow.
Yeah.
Like, impressive things. I know it does for some
people. I'll show you. Yeah. Yeah.
You know that from football.
Right.
Like, that anger can, like, wow, that linebacker hits harder than... He probably should.
He thinks I'm his dad.
There's a lot of that going on. You talk to football players, they'll tell you that, right? Like that, there's a lot of that irreconciled anger thing going on.
What do you mean by giving them power over you?
Well, because now they're still in your head constantly. Mm. Or they are poisoned. That anger is leaking out into other relationships. Or it is costing me physically even. Emotionally, I'm not growing up because I'm stuck with this.
Yeah,
it's almost
sense,
like they're still in the room.
They're still in the room.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say, when I was in that angry, and it was a state of life for me, it's like my dad was living in our house.
That's
I
exactly
brought him
right.
into our house and said, live right here.
And now it's torpedoing your marriage.
Right.
And now she has to live with your dad's like
that's
characteristics
hovering
over. So the same thing could happen in our marriage. For everybody's marriage, like, but through forgiving, now I'm charting a different path. I'm not angry with him. I'm free to think clearly. It's not dragging me down. It actually helps me grow up as a believer. Hmm. It's healthy.
How'd you get there? What'd your journey look like?
I think that was part of it, was going, wait a second, even as a young adult, I don't want this to define the rest of my life. Hmm. It can't. It's actually an act of like having these boundaries to say, you know what? You got the first however many years, but from now on, that's not going to be the way it is. Hmm. I have my own life. I know you can relate to this. Like that was a conscious thought for me, was God bless you. I hope the rest of your life is awesome. You set up your own boundaries about how to interact and communicate or whatever, but the rest of my life is not going to be like that. You don't get that control. You don't get to have that space.
I mean, anymore. What a great way. I've never heard anybody say it quite like that. You got the first 15. I get the next 60 or whatever.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, you
and
did.
Some people will be like, well, he got the first 20. Okay.
Some people will say,
you get the next.
Wait, she got the first 50 years of my life. I've been defined by her.
Yeah.
Her controlling. It could be a controlling mom. Yeah. That's got personality issues or a dad, but you literally can say, okay, I got the next 50s on. I got this.
Yeah.
So we're going to do it this way now. So maybe if they still have access to you 24/7, you say, no, it's not gonna work like that.
Mm.
Like
yeah.
from now on, this is how.
Set of boundaries.
Yes. And that, again, that's not unforgiveness. Mm. You still love them. You want the best for them. You pray for them. And if that's like, I can't do that. I know that sounds really hard. Try it.
Hmm. I remember somebody saying that. It's like when Jesus said, bless those who curse you.
Yes.
You know, I'm sitting there thinking, I heard it was a pastor. He said, can you bless and wish them well and bless them? And I remember I was so angry at this person. I was like, I don't want to bless them. I want
the next person.
I want harm to come to them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's what we talked about. They deserve, and you could go through the whole thing, bad things to happen as a result of what they've done to me. And I remember that was like this little defining moment. could I bless them and wish them well? Ooh, guys, well, that's hard.
It's hard, but tell you what, it gets easier over time.
Hmm. What do you mean?
Let's start, and I'm not joking. It sounds like a joke, but let's start with traffic. Let's start with blessing people in traffic.
I'm
serious.
You just went too far, bro.
No, I know. This is a sore spot for you. I know.
Ask my wife. No, I am the worst.
But
I like it.
Yes. So that's a fairly low leverage possibility. Like somebody cuts you off or somebody's too slow or somebody like literally, what is that person going through? Can you say, Lord, please bless that person's family? Or if they're driving angrily, like this person's obviously toxic. Or in a horrible hurry, something's wrong. Like, please bless that guy. Hmm. I'm telling you, it sounds so hard at first. It becomes easy. You do change over time.
You do.
And this is a way to become more like Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's by practicing the stuff that he actually told us to do.
Well, the thing you said earlier that I was shocked by, still to this day, I marvel at this. When you truly forgive someone that doesn't deserve it, mm-hmm. just like we were forgiven and we didn't deserve it. On the other side of that choice is what you said earlier, freedom. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a freedom. I feel like I used to say to the men at our church, I don't think I was free to become the man, the husband, the dad God wanted me to be, that God created me to be, that God can shape me into be. I don't think I was free to be that guy until I went through this process of sort of cutting the chain to my dad to mm-hmm. just say, I'm going to love him. I'm going to forgive him. And like you said, it didn't mean we're going to have this perfect little relationship, mm-hmm. but I'm going to set him free, mm-hmm. not realizing I was the prisoner mm-hmm. and I'm the one that experienced the freedom. And now I'm able to live a totally different life mm-hmm. because I made that hard, hard choice. But God gives us, it's like you said, it's the ticket to a new life.
It is. And it doesn't mean, again, your boundary may mean they don't have access to you at all anymore.
Right. Yeah.
It may have to come to that.
Right.
But you can still forgive them and do that. Mm. It's about not harboring anger towards them. And it's good for you to forgive and practice this thing. It's going to be good for you so that you can wind up. Think of all the people who've been blessed by what you guys do. Mm. And when I say blessed, it sounds like a Christian-y thing to say, but there's not a really good other word for it. Mm. It's like, but when you're blessing someone, you're adding value to their lives. You're not subtracting it. That's a curse.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's another step? Like, if somebody feels like, I want to, I'm going to start practicing this. Now what?
Well, okay, I think it's really important in the morning to decide you're going to forgive people in advance because of what God has done for you. Remember, it's not dependent on them apologizing. Most people won't apologize. Most people don't deserve forgiveness. But that's the whole point. So if you decide ahead of time, I'm not going to be shocked. We do know that that's going to exist today for us. Mm. So I'm going to forgive people in advance. I'm not going to be shocked by human nature every day. Constantly churning against human, like people are going to do that stuff. We
just watch the news or get on a news feed or social media.
Why are we surprised?
It's humans.
We do it too. We hurt others.
The two brothers were born to Adam and Eve. Mm. Look how that worked out. Yeah. Like humans have a problem. Yeah. Like we should know that if we're Jesus people, we know this. So I think that's a big part of it. Mm. And asking God for the grace, we literally run on grace. It's like jet fuel. Mm. Ask him for the grace to burn today to forgive people from him, through you, towards others. Again, this is about us changing. No, it's not easy at first, but it gets better. It becomes a way of life and people are going to notice that you're at peace.
Do you feel like if we hold on to bitterness and resentment and non-forgiveness, we're just not going to forgive? Or we can't, you know, we just feel like I can't. Do you feel like it stunts our spiritual walk with God? And one of the reasons I ask you that is, you know, we have a son who will be praying with someone and say, hey, you know, and he's told me this. So what do you feel like God's saying to you? And they say, I can't hear God. I never can hear God. And every time he says, I look at him and say, do you have a forgiveness issue in your life? And they're like, what? Is there somebody in your life you haven't forgiven? You know, you need to. He says 100% of the time.
Huh.
They say yes. And he goes, I think there's a connection, being able to sense, even as you're reading the word of God, it coming alive to you. He goes, I think there's a connection between unforgiveness and...
You think it puts a little kink in the connection?
Yeah, it's like...
Absolutely,
it does. You're not going to hear the voice of God. You're not going to be able to take the next step spiritually if you hold on to this. It's like you gotta let go.
Yeah, and that's those are just the words of Jesus. He's the most brilliant man who ever lived.
Yeah.
And in addition to being God in the flesh, walking among us, but when he tells us to do this, we can say, you can listen to me on the radio or you guys and say, well, that you know, you just don't understand my background. Okay, but Jesus does.
Yeah.
And this is what he told you to do.
Yeah.
And it's for our good. So I highly encourage that, like living a healthy life is going to be dependent on no matter what you've gone through with your parents. Ultimately, you have to forgive even your enemies. And it's so tragic that they turned out to be your enemy, maybe. Mm-hmm. But that's the work in front of us. And it frees us.
Brant, I'm thinking about where we started yesterday as you shared the journey with your dad. Did you ever tell him that you forgave him?
Oh, yeah.
How'd that go? Take us back to that time.
I think that's a struggle for him because it keeps coming up. But I have told him repeatedly that those days are over. Like, finish strong. Hmm. So he has to live with his own regrets too.
Yeah.
And so my position is when we talk, that's not on the table anymore. Mm-hmm. We're done with that. Let's talk. I'd rather talk about, you know.
You don't keep bringing it up.
No, we talk about the Cardinals or something. Let's anything else. I told him that. Like,
we're done.
Yeah. We are going to finish strong is what's going to happen. Hmm. Everybody's relationship can be different. You have to set up different boundaries and whatnot. But in that case, that's what we've done. But even in the case where your parent has passed on, that forgiveness still needs to happen.
Yeah.
And that's between you and God. It's again, it's not even about the person in a way. It's like, it's so that you're free.
Yeah.
And you do it out of thankfulness as an act of worship to God because of what he's done for you.
Yeah. And I'll close with this, Brant. Way to go.
Oh, thanks.
Seriously, hearing your story, I don't obviously know your dad, but hearing your story and your brother, that's a manly choice. You talk about being a man, you know, it's not about big biceps. It's about big forgiveness in a lot of ways. And so the way you love Carolyn and your kids is totally different because you went on a journey. Way to go.
Thanks, man. Hey, my name is Brant Hansen, and I'm an author and a radio guy and a big fan of this ministry. I'm a fan of what Dave and Ann do on Family Life, the way they honestly talk about things and the way they point to the kingdom of God. There's not much in our culture like this. It's such a refreshing thing. And I wanted to let you know, if you want to donate to support it would be wonderful. All this month, your donation gets doubled. And that's a huge thing to support this ministry. If you can't, totally understand. But if you are in a place where you could do that, thanks for locking arms with Family Life this month and making this incredibly important ministry happen. You will be making a difference.
We love Brant Hansen.
Yes, we do.
But I love, too, that not only will your gift be doubled up to $2.5 million, but we have a holiday bundle that we want to send to you.
Who doesn't like a holiday bundle?
I love that. And you're going to love these books. One is our Faithful God devotional, which is this beautiful 52 weeks of learning on his unchanging character by Katie Davis Majors. And also the other one, I don't know if you've ever seen any of the books that Ruth Cho Simons have done, but they're beautifully artistically done. This is a children's book, which is called Home is Right Where You Are. It's inspired by Psalm 23. It is a gorgeous book that we want to give you.
You can go to familylifetoday.com and make a donation there, and we'll send you these books. Or if you want to give us a call, just call us at 800-358-6329. Again, the number is 800, F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today.
So coming up tomorrow, Dave and I are going to be talking about gift giving stress.
The story of my Christmas right there. Don't miss that one.
And we'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a Crew ministry. helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.